Good morning. This is Bob Bragg, and I'm here with Representative Scott Tipton, and we're going to talk a bit about agriculture. Of course, agriculture is important to this part of the world, and we've had some things happening in agriculture recently, and I know that you've been much involved with that, with the Farm Bill. We don't want to get into the nuts and bolts of that because we could get overwhelmed with that, but a couple questions I had about the Farm Bill, and that maybe we might just visit with that about that a bit.
Fire away, Bob. Really a pleasure to be able to be with you and be able to be home here. As a matter of fact, just had an opportunity to be able to sit down with a couple of local growers. There's some of the micro farms just growing some of the fresh foods locally here, to be able to get out to some of our different restaurants, working with hospital, working with our school. And we did get the Farm Bill through, and I think probably the best way, frankly, to be able to look at it, I was at the cattleman's dinner up in Ouray, and had a gentleman come up and say, "We've got a Farm Bill," and said, "We did," and he said, "It's good or bad?" And I said, "Yes." You know, there, as with these massive bills, there's some pros and cons in it. A lot of what we did see was spoken to really by our Colorado growers. I'm the only member of the House in Colorado that actually sits on the Ag Committee. And we had our growers, our ranchers, farmers that were telling us that, you know, it's very important in terms of some of the research aspects to be able to make sure that we were having those opportunities, some of the conservation efforts that were going to be in place. To be able to address. And from, I think, our state's perspective, the Farm Bill didn't turn out too badly. Can certainly be addressed in a variety of different fashions. But really a pleasure to be with you.
Well, one of the questions I think has come up as I have visited with farmers and ranchers around the area, I think, is what is the real sentiment in Congress about splitting that Farm Bill, because that may come up again, and it could be, there's some controversy both ways. And I know that originally that the when the House passed that, they passed it as two separate separate issues. Right. Is that something that we'll see again, or is that pretty well put to rest?
You know, it's probably my sense, visiting with some folks back there, you've got a lot of interests that like to see those, the nutrition element of it and the farm issue joined together. And my understanding was originally that was achieved to be able to make sure that votes were going to be present to be able to pass a Farm Bill. Mm-hmm. Is there a nexus? We can certainly argue that. But at the same time, a very legitimate argument can be put forward that we've got two separate issues that are worthy of being addressed. And I think that splitting Farm Bill, I was happy to have a pure Farm Bill. I think that we can probably, from a grower's standpoint, a producer's standpoint, maybe ultimately get a better product, not to the expense of the nutrition side, because there is a bit of a hand and glove associated with that. But my guess right now is we'll probably continue to see those join, because they did leave the House as two separate votes, and then in conference committee they were again co-joined for ultimate passage.
Well, I think that some people don't realize that the something like 80% of that Farm Bill is nutrition, and the rest is agriculture.
Exactly.
So I think there's somewhat of a perception that farmers are really getting welfare on that. But as you say, there's so many other things involved in that bill.
You know, it's interesting listening to a lot of our farm groups, and it was a lot of concern in the general public as is fully justified right now, and I happen to subscribe to as well. We've got better than a $17 trillion debt in this country. Yeah. We've got to be able to address this. Where the Farm Bill did come in with some big pluses is we're going to pay you not to grow. You know, if you're the Sultan of Brunei and you've got a big ranch down in Texas, we aren't going to pay you to not grow products. You had no intention of growing them in the first place. So some of the direct payments to be able to achieve some of the insurance that I think is going to be a viable product. We need to do what we do in the private sector and business and what our farm and ranch community does on a daily basis. We need to have some flexibility to be able to look back in a quicker time frame to see if something is working, something needs to be adjusted, can be improved on the Farm Bill to make sure that we're doing best for the taxpayers and also for making sure that we've got the food security that this country needs.
Well, we shift gears a little bit in that the country of origin labeling was kind of attached to the Farm Bill, and there was some pushback on that from a number of organizations, the American Meat Institute and all of their members, which includes companies like Tyson and Smithfield Foods. And then the National Cattlemen's Beef Association was lobbying to not pass that Farm Bill. Do you think that the country of origin labeling, which really has been around a long time and there's been a lot of controversy over that, I don't know whether there's much discussion in Washington to finally put that to rest. Do you have any feeling on that one? Because, again, it comes back to the cow-calf producers here are pretty adamant about wanting to see that.
If we step back in time, not that long ago now, they had the mad cow disease. Mm-hmm. Look at how quickly basically our industry was able to identify the source of that. You know, here in Colorado, some of the salmonella outbreak, how quickly we were able to identify that source. And I think a lot of the concern, and this is where Washington needs to stop always trying to set the agenda, but to be able to actually listen to the people who are on the ground, people who are doing the job, to be able to understand costs. I think far too few folks in Washington have had to actually ever pay the bills, and to be able to understand that, you know, some of these labeling costs that we have, these are real expenses in some areas. Right now, commodities are a good place to be able to be in. You and I have both been around long enough to see those times when they weren't. Margins That's right. are very narrow to be able to do it. And you and I probably, and I know our farmers and ranchers embrace kind of a very simple philosophy. You know, if it's not broken, don't try and fix it. If it is broken, fix it or stop doing it. And that would be a good lesson for Washington.
Well, that's probably probably true with a lot of areas.
True, indeed.
We see, and of course, I read a lot of different agricultural publications, and we've been talking about concerns about regulations, and also with the Republican County Assembly, there was some resolutions that went forward about seeing regulatory agencies kind of infringing on states' rights, and I don't know where that is in Congress and what your view of that is. And well, the ag industry is a good example of it appears that OSHA is starting to go out after farmers who have grain bins. And EPA is really taking a look at irrigation structure and various other things that may have impact on farming.
You know, I think maybe one of the best examples, I believe, was just in this last Congress. 174,000 plus new pages of regulations were added. Another 4,000 are currently in the pipeline. Does this have real impact here at home? You bet it does. That comes to a cost of $1.8 trillion in regulatory cost that's being added on to the cost of a gallon of milk, a gallon of gasoline, a loaf of bread, impacting a lot of our folks here that are on fixed incomes. We need to be able to have a process to do. And, you know, in Colorado, Bob, we do some things really pretty well. We have sunset legislation, meaning that the state legislature at point certain is going to be able to do a look back to see if a bureaucracy has exceeded or not attained the legislative intent to be able to impact those rules and regulations. Believe it or not, Congress doesn't have that authority. Once a rule goes final, it takes that proverbial act of Congress to be able to adjust that. I'm co-sponsoring a piece of legislation called the RAINS Act. What the RAINS Act would do is actually reinsert Congress back into that rulemaking authority. And let me give you an example that I found a little frustrating. If you want to see a bipartisan committee in Washington, D.C., go to the Ag Committee, because primarily it's people from producing states. A lot of people are directly farmers, ranchers, that happen to be people that are serving in Congress. We had former Director Jackson of the EPA before the Ag Committee because statutorily she had to be able to give a report. She was giving a report on proposed rules that were going to impact the family farm and ranch. My question to her was, would you bring these back to this elected authoritative committee for approval prior to going final? And I'll quote her answer. No. That was the end of her statement. Congress has to have an authority not to be able to get in and micromanage all of these elements. But if a rule, if a regulation simply doesn't make sense, or they haven't initiated a rule or regulation that would make sense, to be able to actually address that, I've seen the real impacts right now going across a variety of different fields, the farm and ranch community, our small business community. And those are the major frustrations, the moving bars of the regulatory process right now that are increasing costs, reducing productivity, our ability to be able to create jobs and to be able to put Americans back to work again. And so that's something that I'm very passionate about and that we're continuing to work on.
Well, I'd like to come back to that after we have a break. But you're listening to KSJD, and we'll take a short break and then be right back. This is Bob Bragg, and I'm talking to Representative Scott Tipton, and we've been talking about agricultural issues this morning. Just before the break, we were talking about regulations, and bureaucratic agencies who are, in essence, telling Congress that that's tough, that their business to regulate people, even though there seems to be from most of the media that I've been reading is that there's some of those regulations are really somewhat questionable. What does Congress think about that?
You know, we have to be able to address it. I just passed a bill through the House of Representatives with bipartisan support called Protecting Our Water Rights Act. I think one of the more important pieces of legislation, at least for the West, that is currently sitting on the doorstep of the United States Senate. What we saw that was happening by rule and regulation, Bob, the Forest Service was coming in, first of all, to our ski areas. Let's talk Purgatory, Durango Mountain Resort, Telluride. If they wanted to be able to get their permit renewed, they had to sign over their water rights to the federal government. That's called a taking because this is a balance sheet item. We saw that then extending out to our ranching community, ranchers who had grazing permits on BLM land being required to sign over their water rights with no compensation. Clear violation of the Fifth Amendment to the Constitution on the takings clause. You have to be justly compensated on this. And that's what this legislation is standing up for, is our Western water law, our state rights, our private property rights, our priority-based system. And we were able, again, to be able to garner bipartisan support and passage of this legislation. So I think that we are seeing a growing awareness that we have a bureaucracy, and while we may not want to assign ill intent to it, is certainly overreached in a variety of different areas. Mm-hmm. Congress needs to actually reinsert itself back into the process to be able to roll its sleeves up and to be able to get to work to be able to address this, because there is not a member of Congress that is saying no regulations. And I always kind of like to tell the story at the beginning of the 1900s when we started building cars in this country, there were only two automobiles in New York City. They ran into each other. You know, a stoplight is not a bad idea. Right. We all know there needs to be some rules. There need to be some regulations. Can we make a very compelling argument that this is overreached? Yes, we can. And this is something that we do need to be able to address and to be able to get Congress right back into that process because, as you note, with OSHA coming in, looking in some of the grain bins, we want to be able to do it safe. But it seems to me that a lot of the regulatory bodies right now are coming in with a fine and punish mentality as opposed to a help and improve mentality.
Is there a thought? You mentioned earlier that you're trying to get people involved in the process. Is that an issue with the bureaucratic regulations? Is that they're leaving the whoever's involved with the regulation out when they make those rules?
Yeah, interestingly enough, if we go back to our Protecting Our Water Rights Act, this was a rule that was moving forward. The ski areas actually filed suit. The judge ruled that the rule would be invalid because the Forest Service had not followed its own rules and regulations in terms of holding public comment. I think a lot of the apprehension that we have, that I have, when we're seeking this public comment, it is one thing to hear, another to listen. And are they hearing what the impacts are actually listening to, what the impacts are actually going to be on the local area, what the costs are that are going to be associated with that? Are we getting to a point of diminishing returns in terms of putting forward a rule and a regulation? And that's the voice that people want to be able to have actually heard. And this is a role that Congress literally needs to be able to play. This RAINS Act, and we're actually working on a piece of legislation right now that says shouldn't say, be complex, but apparently in Washington it is when you're running it past everyone, to be able to replicate to a degree the sunset legislation that we have here in Colorado to be able to address those concerns.
Well, I think that as I'm out talking to farmers and ranchers, the whole idea of common sense comes up, and sometimes many of those folks believe there's not much common sense used with some of the regulations. So, you know, it's kind of like maybe we need more good old boys in Congress.
Well, it is. You know, we're seeing right now the EPA. Believe me, I've sat in a lot of meetings. I've asked a lot of them, and everybody raise your hand. Who here likes clean air and clean water? Everybody raises right. their hand. But now we're seeing the EPA, by rule and regulation, trying to come out and define what a navigable waterway is. Can, under the broad spectrum that they're trying to put it in, it could be a puddle of water. A pollutant becomes dirt coming off the hillside after a rainstorm. And they're putting in a clause saying, well, agriculture is excluded. I'll tell you, I'm wary of this, because when they were trying to promote the Blue Ways program, initially, which Secretary Jewell has not eliminated but now suspended. I read through the report. Was it in my committees, but reading through the report, and they were talking about pollutants coming from faraway farms. Well, the pollutant happened to be something that we here in Montezuma County we call manure.
That's right.
You know, this is part of the natural process to be able to grow crops. It's certainly going to be in water. You know, these are areas that we're seeing the government not using that good common sense, which we hope that they would do. But we've almost literally incentivized a system to where the bureaucracy is incentivized to write rules and regulations, but none are ever taken off the books. We do need to have that opportunity to be able to adjust and to be able to look back.
Well, I think that a lot of farmers who hear that would be saying amen, because that's really a main concern when we take a look at surveys of farms and ranches, is the regulation and over-regulation coming from bureaucracies that are dealing with agriculture.
Well, it is. Let me give you an example. I happen to chair a subcommittee, small business. We oversee energy, ag, and trade. And we held the first hearing when the Department of Labor was coming out with a rule in terms of our children working on the family farm. The rule that they were proposing was if a haystack was higher than 6 feet, a child couldn't work on it, could not drive a motorized vehicle. We've got something called four-wheelers and tractors
right.
that are could not handle a mature animal. Come with me out to the county fair. I'll show you kids handling mature animals. When we had the representative from the Department of Labor before, I asked, who called for this rule? What member of Congress requested this rule? The answer was, no one. This was growing, again, organically out of the bureaucracy. I've always got an issue. If Washington thinks they love our children more than we do, they're wrong. You know, take care of our children better than we will, they're wrong. And, you know, this is an overreach by the government. The good news is Senator John Thune also picked up on this labor law in regards to children working on the family farm. You and I grew up with that philosophy. My dad put me to work on a farm when I was 12 years old, moving pipeline through a hay field. I got from field to field on the back end of an old Ford tractor and actually lived to tell the tale. You know, it can be done.
That's right.
And so... the bureaucracy is incentivized in that regard, and you know, some of this I'll lay that Congress has given it over periods. I've been there 3 years, and over extended periods prior to that, they were allowing this authority to be grasped and taken. It needs to be taken back, and we need to be able to address this, because this is really impacting people you and I look in the eye of every day. Our people who grow our field, tend our herds, and put those groceries on the grocery store shelf. ultimately, and there are real impacts to them.
Well, is there? It's been an interesting discussion, Representative Tipton, and we appreciate you coming in here and spending some time with us. I think that it's good to hear what's happening in Washington down here in our corner of the world.
Well, as you know, this is home for me, and it's always a great pleasure. And I'll tell you, here at home, if people have not been in the new facility here, this is well worth the stop. This looks absolutely beautiful, and I know a public radio station here is a great attribute to our local area, and really appreciate you allowing me to be able to come in and visit with you.
Well, thank you very much. This has been the Morning Zine. And talking to Representative Scott Tipton, and this is Bob Bragg.